So we in the Trunk Radio, episode 2. Got my guys with me. State your names, gangsters. You ain't gotta pick it up. It's all there.
Nate motherfucking Washington.
Tyrone.
And we in the trunk. Episode 2. Alright, first thing I wanna do is congratulate my guy, Nate, for coming through with some shit called goddamn Godzilla, whatever the fuck it is. This shit was fucking ridiculous the way it looked and smelled. Smelled like death, I swear to God. This is shit they was niggas be talking about on their rap records.
It smelled like death, bro.
Right. That smelled like life, baby. Yeah, what you like, mean? That smelled like the rising of our ancestors.
What was that shit called? What's it called?
That's called Wakanda Purple.
Wakanda. These niggas done nicknamed it Wakanda. It's called Grape Ape.
It's called Wakanda.
Whatever that purple flower was, they
that's
had
what
on
that shit
made
is.
You the Panther.
That's right. Mm.
That's what that shit was.
I believe it. Yeah. That shit gives you the powers.
Yeah. Takes you into orbit.
Now you are the Black Panther.
Yeah.
We will not have no challenge today.
So, yo, check this out, y'all. We just chilling out, just fucking around for this episode. It's a freelance episode. Nate got a show coming up Wednesday. What is it?
Comedy Fight Club
at the old J and Jeans, which is called the Ohio Chiefs. Same place. It's
1124 Leo Street.
1124 Leo Street. Pull
come support,
up.
Come support my guy Nate. Come
on. It don't
Unlike
cost
any
you
any other comedy show you have ever seen.
It don't cost you nothing.
Don't cost you nothing.
Don't
but,
cost you nothing.
But your attendance.
Nate, let me ask you a question, bro. I was at your first show, comedy show.
Yep.
Ever.
Yep.
Since then, how long have you been doing this comedy?
It's about to go on 8 years.
That's been 8 years mm-hmm. ago? Shut up.
It'll be 8 years in September.
I just pulled up that video on YouTube.
But he always been a funny one.
Let's not forget that. You know what I'm saying?
I heard things.
He's a funny guy.
I heard things.
Here's the rumor. The rumor is he's a funny guy. But, so I was on YouTube last week, to the day. I was on YouTube last week, posted a little video, and I was looking at my channel, and I have the first video I recorded of you.
Word?
On the comedy thing. I'm gonna give it to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Check that out.
Don't share it.
It was good. You did the McDonald's joke.
Hey, you didn't say nothing about no white people. Like, you know.
Man, no, he did. He did do some white shit.
You know, it was like Eminem's first shit, you know.
It was.
Motherfucker said something, but, you know, he cussed the black girl out.
Hey, nah. It's not gonna get him in trouble. I'm not smoking that shit, nigga. No.
Trump grabbing people by the pussy, so.
Right. I'm just talking.
Listen. Listen, y'all. So you did this joke. It was the McDonald's joke. You mm-hmm. remember that joke? So
yep.
I'm paraphrasing, but the joke was like this, y'all. It was like McDonald's targets blacks for their commercials.
No, they target blacks and then they target everybody.
But our commercials are totally different.
But the ones when they target us. Is they a bit different?
How different? Like, explain.
Well, like, you know, it's based on like what you watch.
Yeah.
So like, if you watching something that everybody, something mainstream, like a football game, for instance.
Yeah.
McDonald's commercial comes on. It's always, you know, one way. It's a little more like, I give you a perfect example, because I don't want to spoil a joke, but I will give you a perfect example to prove my point.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when they had the pineapple mango smoothie?
Yeah.
All right, you can go to YouTube and look up the pineapple mango smoothie advertisement, and there's two of them. Mm-hmm. One of them, the more mainstream one, it looks like a kaleidoscope. You remember the kaleidoscopes with the different shapes shifting?
Yeah.
And it's pineapples and shit.
Yeah.
And there's all this little serene music playing in the background, and then they give you the little, hey, come check out the pineapple mango smoothie at McDonald's.
Right.
And the commercial goes off or whatever.
Yeah.
But... So watch that one first when you do it.
I'm going to do it.
And then, you know, in the suggested video, scroll down and then you'll see another one, but it looks like a concert.
Okay.
A rap concert, to be more specific.
So they urbanized it.
Yeah. They're advertising the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But now we're at a rap concert.
Well, they're trying to get a younger demographic, it looks like.
So how? So
old people to McDonald's.
All things younger.
Trying to get the young black people.
They wanted the darker. They wanted the
then younger.
So from those observations and shit, that's how you just kind of like you pretty much branded your you do your jokes like a lot of comics based on real life experiences and shit, just shit you see.
Absolutely.
But that's just one of the things that you've seen, uh-huh. which may And I'll tell y'all, this joke is fucking hilarious. It's great. I'm not going to, you know, comedians, for future reference, they hate it when you ask them to tell a joke. They don't want to hear that.
No, well.
Natural, right?
No, here's the thing.
Like, hey, let me hear a joke.
Here's the thing, this is the disconnect. Like, when you meet somebody of another profession, you don't automatically put them on the spot. You kind of take their word for it. If you meet somebody who says they're a carpenter, you don't say, hey, can you make me a birdhouse real quick?
Just
to prove that you're really a carpenter.
Right.
You don't do it. You know what I'm saying? But what's the first thing you say when you meet a comedian? Can you tell me a joke?
Tell
me a joke.
No, motherfucker, I can't tell you a joke, as a matter of fact.
But if you know what? If you just sit there and just talk to somebody.
Just give me a second.
If they're funny, it comes
it's
out
automatic.
In their personality.
It's automatic.
Absolutely. Most comics are naturally funny. Yeah. If you just give us a second, you know what I'm saying?
Nate's an awesome guy. Listen, Nate's been telling me to go get on somebody's stage for fucking 10 years.
Oh, you should, man.
Hey, hold on. I want y'all to understand something. I want to give you guys a visual of what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing right now is this guy cracked open the Crown Apple.
Yeah.
And he took a little sip. And that was the pause.
That was the pause.
I'm sorry. That was the pause.
Sorry.
He didn't, you know, it was real. He didn't offer nobody here a shot or nothing. He just got his own shot.
Yeah, but listen. Clean the whole. They've been smoking fucking Grape Ape, and I don't want
it.
Hey, man.
I don't want it. Don't make us feel bad.
Because we got the Panther.
We offered you.
We got the power of the Panther right now.
We offered you the Grape Ape.
Listen, I understand that. I just want to drink. Are y'all going to drink this?
No.
Okay.
I'm really, really.
Yeah, come on. I was kind of vibing on that.
So Nate says, man, you need to do that shit. Just jump on there, man. Just do that shit one time. Yeah. I said, bro, I don't know how to do it. This nigga said, bro, you funny as fuck. But I'm a different funny. I feel like I'm in your face just hanging out. If you know me, we talking shit. I'm funny then. You know what I'm saying? I can tell you what happened yesterday. I can tell you a story, and that's it. That's funny then. I don't feel like I'm not afraid of no crowds. Y'all know I'll stand in front of whoever, but I don't want to.
Let me tell you something. I'm good. Look, there is a difference. There's a person that's funny when you're at a party. Yeah. They got everybody laughing, and they're funny. Like, no matter what they say or do, people is in stitches.
Right.
You know, and then there's people that are comics. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference. Like, you know, I'm not that type. Like, you know, I'm a comic. You come and see me, like, in my element, I guarantee you I'll have you in stitches. But, like, don't expect me, like, to be on, like, one of those. Like, and there's a different type.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But when I say that I think you should do it because it ain't about that. It's the charisma. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, you charismatic. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, you would have the stage presence needed for a comic. So you already naturally funny. But you would have the presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but other people don't.
Right. I dig what you're saying. I dig
that. Yeah, absolutely.
I totally dig that. And then my guy Tyrone, he's an influential person, man. He got a lot of people, man, that look up to him, man. And I told this guy, and he's heard it from other people, that he needs to be into politics of some sort.
Absolutely.
Do you agree?
Man, I agree that if you... If you know that you are good at something that you can monetize for yourself, I think you need to jump on that shit and take off running, man. Because, you know, every time you get up and clock in at somebody's job, you working to make somebody else's dream come true.
Somebody had that dream to develop that job when you're clocking in. They jumped out the window.
And that's what we were just talking about.
They jumped out the window.
So, like, when you find something, that's why I started doing comedy, man.
That's when you started doing it.
Yeah.
8 years. But you had been thinking about it for how long? Before you got on that stage that night, at Wiley's, how long before you was like, I'm going?
I wrote my first set when I was 15.
Shut the fuck up.
I wrote my first set when
so
I was 15.
So it was years down the line.
Oh, man.
Years.
I started rapping.
Yeah, right.
I was rapping. Even then, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Like, everybody, see, grown, how old are you?
I'm 41.
You're 41. So you came up, you grew up with hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, everybody that's, you know what I mean, grown up with hip-hop has some type of flow. They think they do it.
Yeah.
But you were actually good at it.
Yeah, I had bars. Like, you know, the most, but see, that's the difference. Like, the most I ever did, like, when I was trying to call myself rapping. We did the Fly City Music Festival 1 year.
Nice.
You know
nice.
What I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
But who was at that Fly City?
That's the one Destiny's Child was in.
Side note, if you don't know, and I know there's going to be some people that's not from Dayton area that's going to hear this and going to say Fly City Music Festival. We are the Gym City, and little Dayton history, you know, a lot of funk and things like that were started here. We can have a whole history
Ohio
lesson
players.
On that. Ohio players, we're just name dropping a few.
Lakeside.
Yeah, it's been a lot of medals you can go on and on. And we're a Fly City only because it was a play on words, because we're fly because of Wright Brothers.
Indeed.
And we were fly because we were, and still are, in you know, a lot of eyes, fly to the look. Like, we'll go anywhere and they'll be like, we're players.
We're
so back to the left, to the story. The Fly City Music Festival was like a culmination of just bringing everybody in the area together and representing where we're from. So you did the first set at your first show.
No, that wasn't my first show. That was the biggest,
show.
Like, the entire time I was rapping. I mean, I was writing raps when I was in sixth grade. You know
so,
what
yeah.
I mean?
So you always did something, right?
Yeah, but I've done way more and made way more bread doing comedy than I ever did, like, trying to write raps or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That's pretty slick,
but
bro.
No, we were I kind of derailed us and shit.
We're going to get back
about,
there. But doing what, and you were trying to get there saying, you done that long time ago, and you heard, but it prepared you for the stage.
Absolutely.
That prepared you for the stage. Mm-hmm. So you're saying the things that you go through before you figure it out is going to prepare you for that stage in your realm.
Yeah.
So what we were saying is Tyrone has the knack. Would you agree? He has the knack that you're supposed to, you're an influence. You should use that influence politically. I'm voting for you, Tyrone, for mayor. City council, something, bro.
I vote for him, but it got to be the right capacity.
The right place. It's got to be the right place.
Like, I think your strength is like being able to like to show people your vision of things. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just me from the outside looking in. Like that, that's the strength of yours to be able to say, look,
I just rather give people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the truth sets a better foundation than building it on a lie.
You get another one.
Yeah. And I would never build, I'm not going to build anything on a lie.
Right.
If that truth don't get me nowhere, then that'd be it. But I'm going to always stand on truth.
Indeed.
So, and that's how I have the people understand, like, it's everything, anything I would do would be love and truth.
Straight like that. Tyrone, real quick, because the people in the world, they don't know. Tyrone, give us your background real quick, man. We'll just keep it.
Man, you know how Virgos are. We behind the scenes.
You have always been, but this is stuff that you've done. I'm not talking about what you do now.
I'm
a veteran.
I'm a veteran.
Let's give it up for veterans. So.
Indeed.
That's my guy.
Indeed.
Well,
so straight up.
That's, you know, I spent 11 years.
Wakanda, my nigga.
Yeah, I spent 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Military first.
What branch?
You. First, the Marines, you know, Semper Fi.
Okay.
Straight up, always.
Okay.
They say, you know,
always a Marine. Yeah. I don't care what branch of service I went to after that.
Yeah.
You know, and I spent a lot of time, and a lot of my brothers who are tight with me to this day are Marines, you know, spread across. Well, I got one homie in Texas by the name of Tuck. That's my guy. Salute to him. I got my homie who does a lot for the people. Little Spargo, man. Y'all know him, but he's a good guy. He actually works for a company that works in DNA background now. So he's doing something new, and he's doing this thing over there.
Right.
But like I said before, I want to just stand on truth.
Indeed. Yeah,
straight like that, bro. Straight like that, man.
Stand on truth. That's it.
Hey, bro, but getting it out the trunk, bro. This is In the Trunk Radio. This is what I do. All I do, y'all know, for one of my favorite songs. It started off the fucking Black Panther movie. Let's say that, though. The fucking Too Short, In the Trunk.
Ah,
that shit came on, nigga.
I said the president's to the
I went
right there,
bananas,
know?
Bro.
I was like, what am I watching?
Hey, listen, bro.
I was like, this is a...
He played In the Trunk, bro. They got the directors from Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
You're basing a lot of the story from some shit that happened in Oakland.
Right.
And to have Too Short in a Marvel movie, first song on there, he's got some credit out of it.
Right.
It's Too Short for one. Pine.
Right.
Can we this is the song, if you don't know. Yeah, where they at?
I sell tapes every day, me and Freddie B.
So, that right there, one of my favorite songs, if not my favorite song.
You just had that on your flyer for the party this past Friday.
This is my joint right there.
Reg, man. Let me tell you something about Reg. Reg.
Oh, my God.
Reg.
Disclosure.
Reg, my guy here, has a gift.
This is a disclosure now. Disclosure statement.
Hey, man. You're the gift of gab, man.
They say that.
You know.
They say that.
They do.
They say that.
I used to sell cars with him. I know.
You know. He knows how to get you in that. Yeah. He knows how to get your energy into his.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like it's almost like he's a hacker, a computer hacker mm-hmm. to your brain. He just goes in there. He likes that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me figure out what he likes and boom.
I used to see, we used to make a game out of it and shit. Like,
at the dealership.
How much control can you have over your customer?
Off the rip.
You know what I'm saying? Let's see the craziest shit we can make this motherfucker do. You know what I'm saying? And
give me an example.
I'll tell you one that I did.
I'll tell you, you remember this one. It was this big, they were like $100. Paul made the bet with me. You're not going to hug the next customer that you get. I'm a smart motherfucker anyway. So the next customer pulled up was this big burly white dude from Germantown, Ohio, bro. Beard, racist look. He's in the F-250 fucking dually. You know what I'm saying? Like he pulled up fucking filthy. Smells like fucking cow shit. You know what I mean? But I walk up to him. It's my next guy. I got the next customer. Bam. We should have a system for customers. Bam. But anyway, so the guy gets out of his truck. I greet him. And I said, listen, there's a bunch of people behind me. Well, I hug him. I hug him. And he was like, all right, cool. Let's go. I win the bet from the tower. They see it. I know I win the bet. They don't know this. You know how I won and how I got him to hug me? I said, there's people behind us looking at us right now. I got a $50 bet on the line. I'm going to give you $50. Just give me a hug right now. He's like, fucking give it here. And I fucking hugged the shit out of him. Go back in there, get my 100. Gave him his 50. And pocketed the 50. Let's go. Like, let's make a deal. So I broke the ice. I'm great at breaking the ice. You know what I mean? Put me anywhere.
But no,
I'm breaking the ice.
What am I misremembering? Who was it, though? Because we would, like, I'm going to show you how much control I got over my customer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm about to go make this motherfucker climb on the back of this truck, on the bumper, and jump up and down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, that's part of the psychology of sales.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you...
Partial
you go up there, you'll walk up to them and be like, hey, follow me. And then turn around and just walk away. You know what I'm saying? If they come with you, you got control of your customer.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, if they just stand there and they still looking at the car, you ain't got, they running that sale.
Now you
got
to start something up.
Now you got, you know what I'm saying? So that was one of the games we play. Like, so who was it that had the motherfucker jumping up and down on the bumper? It was a husband and a wife.
Somebody goofy like that. I think it was either
trying
me.
To get them to like just like.
I think it was Travis. I think I was Travis.
Look how good the shocks are.
I think I
like,
was Travis.
Climb up here.
Jump up here. Like we would do this shit all the time, like just to show control.
I thought that was you because that's
what it probably could have. It probably could have
been funny, motherfucker.
Shoot, a little bit of.
Let's see this
one. Let me tell you.
Valentino.
Listen. Oh shit.
Valentine.
So we had a thing. If you can't hang with us at the fucking store, you're gonna quit.
You're gonna quit.
We're gonna make you quit. You gotta vet through us.
You're gonna
quit. Yeah, they might hire you, but you gotta get vetted through us to get your paycheck.
You're gonna quit. And we gonna ran quit. Motherfuckers out.
Listen, there was remember Bobby from fucking Deer Stew? Man, I'm from Xenia. From mm-hmm. Xenia, dude from mm-hmm. Xenia, he fucking got up mm-hmm. out of there. But Valentino came from the Dayton Mall. He sold t-shirts.
Jewelry or something.
Some
like.
Shit out the fucking, out a little thing in the mall. And he thought he could sell cars. Bitch, you're not going to fucking just.
How Valentino looked though.
He looked like a fucking putz. He looked like a fucking greasy ass fucking A-Raz spit mix, bro. Like, no disrespect to my people's
voice. Damn!
How do you say no disrespect after that?
But listen, they're the same ones that call me nigga, bro. Literally.
Can we edit?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, alright.
We might. But Valentino, bro, he was so fucking sour pussy. He couldn't take jokes. And Travis played the tough, I'll kick your ass, dude. Nate played the fucking reiterator. And I was the concerned brother that would keep letting you just feel like you're okay. It's okay. Listen, Travis tells this motherfucker, man, you better watch your fucking mouth. I fucking take every bone you got and bury it in the back of my grandma's fucking yard in Franklin. The dude was like, oh, shit. I come up like, hey, man, it'll be all right, man. He just playing.
I'm not going to do nothing.
Don't do nothing to you. Shut the fuck up, Travis. Nate's like, so you sell shirts? He's like, yeah. He's like, so you're going to come up with your own line? He's like, I mean, I think about it. He said, what you going to call it? I don't know. I say, Shirts by Valentino.
By Valentino.
He fucking claps his fucking hands. Shirts by Valentino. No, he looked like the dude from fucking the Adam Sandler movie, the fucking Sneaky Sneaky Sir. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Fucking, where he got all the money and shit. The fucking.
No, Mr. Deeds.
Mr. Deeds. Yeah. He looked like that guy that come out and was like, you're like, where the fuck did you come from? Yeah. So every time we see Valentino, it started to be a clap before you say his name. No matter fucking what.
Yeah, y'all did that to him.
And every time, dude, like,
y'all
we
made
would.
It quit.
Man, like, we had a, like, you remember, you ever been to Interstate 4? Like,
there's a little atrium.
There's a little atrium lobby. Like, it was like a triangle shape.
Interstate 4.
Yeah, up there by the Dagmar.
Yes.
It was a little triangle shaped atrium that had like four chairs in there. We were sitting there like to be warm during the wintertime while we waiting on motherfuckers to pull onto the lot.
Yeah.
And me and Reggie, we would position that motherfucker right in the middle of us and shit.
Perfectly.
Like, in that triangle and shit.
And we just ping back and forth.
And just fuck with him. Like,
I'd be like, yeah, bro, so you gonna do shoes too? Because he had these fucking greasy, fucking hard shoes.
Valentino. Shoes.
From Valentino.
Man, we fucked with him like.
But was he buying into y'all? Y'all
he didn't know we were fucking with
him. That's what I'm saying.
He had no clue. He thought so we were dead ass. So we'll be fucking doing that, and Travis will come in and be like, get the fuck out of my seat.
Yeah,
Travis is a fucking 6'3" ginger from fucking Franklin that played quarterback.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? He's like, get the fuck out of my seat. He's like, is he for real? Yeah. Get
man.
The fuck
you
out.
You better move.
They would call it bullying.
Yeah, oh yeah, we definitely.
But y'all caught, but it really called hazing.
We were hazing.
We were hazing. Like, man, we fucking.
But there were a lot of people. There were a lot of people that come through and just give it to us the way we give it to them.
Did you know that?
And they stayed.
Do you know that our freshman year, we were so big as a freshman class that they didn't do that hazing shit to us?
They didn't fuck with y'all.
No. Our class was so big.
Oh, big in stature.
Yes. We were the same size as the juniors and the seniors.
So they like.
They took a scrounder, like.
Yeah, we ain't gonna fuck with them.
Yeah.
When did you graduate, Tyro?
96.
See, you
I tried to. 96. I'm sorry, 96. I didn't fully disclose my other half of my military service too.
Okay.
But I tried to skip past that to get y'all back to y'all.
Yeah. We're not gonna talk
I did
about
it twice today.
So
I did it twice. I thought it was a good, you know, miss.
You threw it off.
The misdirection.
I spent the 5 years in the army as well.
Here's the thing.
And
I know what kind of work he done, and so, I'm not going to talk about that.
So it's just.
He served in different branches that were amazing to the country, man. Thank you for that, man.
For your service.
You did a good job.
You're still here, so you obviously were successful at it. And, you know, hey, that's great, bro. You're a good guy.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
You did what you're supposed to do. But, man.
I couldn't have done it.
No?
Man.
Hey, man.
Sign up for the military?
Mm-mm.
Dude, I went and took my ass fab and everything, bro. Was ready, bro.
What branch for you?
I was going to the Army.
Okay.
I was going to the Army.
I was hoping you wouldn't have went to the Navy.
No. I was going
to coffin racks, man. You know,
I already know.
You're like 16 feet.
You know, my grandfather,
said what's
he
that?
Was in the Air Force.
The coffin racks, man. Actually, I had to stay 6 months on the ship. And whereas we deployed, the different spots in the world.
Yeah.
And the racks are like, they're about the size of about to right here to that wall.
Mm-hmm. So and 5-6 feet.
And they flip down, and that's what you sleep in. They come out about right here.
Damn.
So you just got to call them coffin racks.
Man, y'all and that motherfucker on shelves and shit.
Yeah, pretty much. On
shelves. Like shelves. Yeah,
yeah. Bed shelves. Yeah. I guess you can call them bed shelves.
That motherfucker's in there piled up on shelves.
Yes, man.
Fuck that, bro.
Damn. And it'd be like three people, one person up top, in the middle, and the bottom, like a fucking cell.
And that
then
was
it's
in...
like, then it's like a narrow path about like this right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Narrow path, and that's the racks are on that. You got lockers right across here, and you have like a little thing where you can put some of your stuff, you know.
Yo, I got a cousin. He just went to, this will be his third year as a, he's in Air Force, but he's in some special fucking shit, right? And he's a fucking monster now, bro. Like, he's different, bro. Like, what? In the military... Crazy. Huh?
Before you start.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay, okay.
What I'm just saying is, what's the percentage in your mind? What's the percentage of guys going in, doing their job, and staying, I wouldn't say the same, because you're obviously doing different shit. You're going through some stuff. Well, but the percentage of guys that you know or can remember or your thoughts of coming back home without being looked like, that's my cousin, but he's not the same. So, you know what I'm saying?
Well, how can I give you a picture? Anything traumatic.
Yeah.
Can change.
Right, right.
You know? And sometimes, as a kid, growing up, you're so used to traumatic events that you adapt to that change.
Right, right, right.
And I felt, I've always even used this as a quote, is the person that's the most adaptable to change would be the most successful, right? Mm-hmm. So, to me, I'm just saying, how about being uprooted from your family? Let's say you're married, right? Mm-hmm. And you got a kid that just been born. And then boom, hey, you get orders, oh yeah, you're going to deploy. And your deployment is either 6 months or it could be 18 months. Right? Mm-hmm. And you leave your family, you're uprooting your family. That's traumatic right there already. Right. You have a kid that's about to be born, you can't be with her. Mm-hmm. That's already traumatic. So these are what these people are going through. Mm-hmm. So then they get there, mm-hmm. and then they have to deal with getting there. Mm-hmm. Let's start there. Just getting there is horrible. You get to Kuwait, you know, you're still in a kind of a safe zone, but you're in Kuwait. Mm-hmm. You know, then you go from Kuwait and then you go in country. Mm-hmm. Well, I probably shouldn't be telling all this, but you go in country to various spots to wherever you're supposed to go.
You got
to
do work.
You do work, mm-hmm. right? That's traumatic. Mm-hmm. And depending on how you go in, you can take fire at any time. So that's traumatic. So wherever you're going, if you
are. So there's different people, levels getting piled on top of you.
Levels and levels and levels.
You got your entry level. And not to stay short on anything, but or take light of it, but it's entry level traumatic to just leave your family.
That's just the entry.
That's entry level. That's crazy.
Put it this way, that's normal.
That's what I'm saying. That's not a prerequisite. That's
normal.
That has to happen.
It's not even a traumatic. It's so traumatic that it's normal.
You're desensitized.
Wow.
It's the sensitive.
So that's just the normal. Everybody has that similar conversation.
So then, and then you have to understand, then when you try to get back into your environment, okay, you're used to getting up in the morning, and you only got to deal with right here. You know, mm-hmm. you don't got to deal with somebody not understanding. Somebody could just come out with a suicide bomb and just blow up the whole camp.
Damn.
You know? You don't got to worry about fire bombs all day shaking the whole camp. Mm. You know? It's stuff that you get numb to.
Mm.
So... some people crack, and some people have different ways of cracking. So, will they be the same when they come back to the gym? You want to give me a percentage? I would say 100% of the time they go over there, they don't come back the same.
Nobody's
coming back the same.
Wow. That's layered, bro. That's
so. I'm just saying, there's going to be a change from some type of that trauma just from going over there.
Wow. So don't even be surprised if you got loved ones or cousins, friends, family, whatever, and you're trying to reach them, you can't relate. So having a, like...
Well...
Damn.
It's not that you can... It's really they can't relate to you. Okay, so just imagine being used to being bullets flying around you. And if you come here and had to listen to somebody talking about, oh, I want this for breakfast, or I can't go outside and do this. Oh, I got a flat tire.
Fuck your flat tire. You know, bitch. That's not stress.
I'm just saying how.
But yeah.
I'm just saying we can't relate to you. It's not you. Y'all are the normal. Mm-hmm. We are the people that are. Yeah. So we're looking at reality different.
Off rip. Yeah, it's not the same.
Our reality is not ever going to be the same. Because once you are exposed to a reality that trumps, supersedes the reality that you live in, you're going to. That's gonna write.
It's gotta change.
I.e. back to that being taken from your family or not. You're not gonna be able to.
That's just the psychology of, and I've studied the science, and I can go a little deeper, I'm not gonna do that on this podcast.
Sure. I dig that.
But
we'll save that.
Yeah.
We'll save that. I'm gonna dedicate an in the trunk for the fucking veterans. I'm gonna get about 3 or 4 motherfuckers and just sit there and just talk.
Man. Yeah, and I bet you our stories may be lively, but they are the same.
At the end of the day, you know? Yeah.
Traumatic. But I think it's necessary for people to hear them, man.
People need to hear that because
it's necessary to get them out. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know, when you sit and hold on to shit,
it could be therapeutic.
You gotta let go sometimes,
or maybe you know, it can turn into a session, a therapy session where we're podcasting and putting it out to each other.
Give it up for Tyrone's thoughts. Give it up for that, though.
Thoughts always go deep.
Let's go.
Podcast each other.
I think that would be dope.
You never know. The best creations come from just that small of a thought. And it's just a podcast that just started.
Yeah, no doubt.
We're freelancing right now.
No doubt. In the Trunk Radio, this is just episode 2, man. We're gonna go ahead and get up off of here. Shout out to Nate Washington. This is my guy. Been my guy for a little while now,
support,
man.
Wednesday,
Jay and Jeans, aka Ohio Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Comedy Fight Club.
Comedy Fight Club.
Don't talk about it.
You got my guy. Who's the DJ? Tone. Tone for Long. Shout out to that guy for his DJing and alcoholic showcasing skills.
Indeed.
I don't even think he DJs. I think he just drinks and fucking, you know, takes pictures on Instagram. But, you know, music be in the background, so I guess
it's going to be a dope show. It's unlike any other comedy show you've ever seen around here, so definitely check it out.
Check out that show, y'all.
My man Jay Snyder.
Jay Snyder's the headliner. Shout out to him.
Come through.
And shout out to my boy Tyrone. Give it up to him. He's going to be he's going to be taking over a lot of the. I'm going to get this guy to do his own, podcast for those veterans and those guys with those headaches and shit. And shout out to that Grape Ape. Shout out to Grape Ape.
And Beagle again.
The sponsor of the day. All right,
y'all.
The day.
So we'll catch y'all on the next one. And it's in the Trunk Radio, man. We out.